From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, alternative archaeology. Here's what's happening. A federal appeals court in San Francisco has ruled that people do not have a Second Amendment right to carry concealed weapons in public, in a sweeping decision likely to be challenged by gun rights advocates. An 11-judge panel of the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals issued the 7-4 ruling upholding a state law requiring applicants to show good cause that such a fear of personal safety to carry a concealed firearm. Let's check in with the expert on more guns, less crime, John Lott. John, what does this mean?
Well, it means that elections matter. that the Democrat judges didn't believe that you had a right to defend yourself outside the home, and the Republicans basically said you did. I mean, there's only one judge that didn't vote on straight party lines in this en banc decision that was done. And I think it's more than that. I think they're setting this up for a case that would go to the Supreme Court that Democrats believe that if they win this presidential election would allow them to overturn the Heller and McDonald decisions, the two cases that struck down D.C. and Chicago's ban on guns.
John, people who have concealed weapons permits right now all around this country in the states that issue them, what does that mean for them?
But it doesn't mean anything. It's just saying that if a state decides that people shouldn't have the ability to defend themselves outside their home, then the state can decide that. And that's pretty much what California has in many areas in the state. For example, in San Francisco, there are four permits for the county. That's like 6/1000ths of one percentage point of the adult population that has a permit. In Los Angeles, you're talking about 400 permits. You're talking about thousands of a percentage point there.
But the states, though, that have approved concealed weapons permit holders and have a reciprocity with other states, that will continue.
That's right. It's just saying that if a state wants to ban it, they can do that. But it's saying if a state wants to let people carry, they can do that too.
You're going to be busy with this one, John, aren't you?
Well, unfortunately, I think this election means a lot. It's going to determine whether places can ban guns in all sorts of ways.
All right, John. Thank you so much. No minutes will be taken. No reporters will be allowed in. There will be no opening press conference, no closing statement, and participants will not be asked to quote each other. Welcome to the 64th Bilderberg Conference, folks. Rich and powerful people, bankers, prime ministers, former heads of state, the CIA, MI6, they're all about to join other members of the global elite for the world's most high-powered but secretive annual meeting this year, being held in Dresden, Germany. Next week on Coast to Coast, we'll talk about the Bilderberg Conference and what that means to all of us. President Barack Obama has officially endorsed Hillary Clinton as the Democratic Party presidential nomination. His endorsement came after meeting Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, who's been, of course, battling Clinton for the nomination. The Obama administration also is getting behind a plan that would have the U.S. government relinquish its last bit of control over the Internet, a move that Republican lawmakers are fighting both tooth and nail. And also a weird story popping up all over the place. It appears the U.S. military is testing a device or devices that will potentially jam GPS signals for 6 hours each day. But is this true? Let's check in with Lauren Weinstein from the expert of the Internet. What is going on here, Lauren?
Yeah. Well, which one do you want first, the Internet one or the GPS?
Yeah, let's do the GPS first, then we'll go back to the Internet story.
Yeah, apparently what happened here is that the FAA issued an advisory that Western states would be suffering various degrees of GPS degradation, in other words, jamming, we believe. during specified times. They were warning mainly aviation. Now what made this really alarming was that the mainstream media sources that initially reported this misunderstood. They misread the FAA advisory, so they were reporting that it was going to affect GPS down to 50 feet, which like a three-story building or something.
That's right, right around the corner.
Yeah, so that got a lot of people disturbed. But actually, when you went and looked at the actual advisory, it said flight level 50, which was something entirely different, which is more like 5,000 feet in this context. And airliners and other other planes have procedures to deal with GPS outages and problems. But this does emphasize how dependent we are on these systems, whether GPS or the Russian GLONASS or the European Galileo, which is currently being deployed.
If they ever go down, what a mess.
Yeah, very much so. All right, the Internet.
Internet, yeah, what is this story? Giving up, relinquishing control over the Internet?
I don't think we can deal with this properly right now.
No, just give me some highlights.
Considerable time, but this all rolls back to ICANN, and we've talked about ICANN before. And that's the organization that has been involved in assigning numbers and setting rules and regulations. Most people run into it in terms of the rules that it has associated with domain names, who gets what domain name, the domain name fights over .com addresses, all these kinds of things. And ICANN has been empowered essentially from the Department of Commerce traditionally, because remember the Internet came from the ARPANET, and that was a U.S. creation.
And Al Gore.
Al Gore, got a bum rap on this because Al Gore. We'll cover this here. Al Gore actually only said that he was proud of his work in the establishment of the Internet, and he actually did a lot of important things to move us from the ARPANET, which was a military defense system, to the commercial Internet.
No, he did. That's
so he really does deserve some credit there. Anyway, but ICANN has really gotten a bad reputation over the years. A lot of people, especially in recent years, have become very upset about the way they handle this. And so this caused the rest of the world to say, well, let's take all this away from ICANN. The problem is that what the rest of the world wants to do in many cases is even worse than what ICANN does, because you have Russia saying that they want to impose censorship and controls, and you have China saying they want to impose censorship and controls. So we may well be going from the frying pan into the fire with this. It's really complicated, it's really a mess, and it's really important.
And we really shouldn't be doing it, should we?
The problem we have is that we need something better than ICANN. And I have for years I have said we need to move beyond ICANN and have a different way of doing this. But the way that is being proposed to do it right now has an awful lot of problems associated with it. It could probably be fixed, but there are a lot of people concerned about it, and there are reasons to be concerned.
All right. Thank you, Lauren. Appreciate it. Great information. Well, look up in the sky. Is it a bird? Is it a plane? No, it's Dr. Sky, Stephen Cates, with his weekly report. What do you have there, Stephen?
Oh, so much here, George. We're talking first a little update on the Arizona fireball. To my best recollection in talking to so many people, no proven identified particles or meteorites from this yet, but it's early. But we're seeing a whole bunch of fireballs around the world.
All over the place.
Oh, it's just incredible. Some of the reports coming in Washington State on June the 3rd. Then we have London, England.
St. Louis just had one.
St. Louis, Poland, all over the place. And people are speculating, or wondering, I should say, what might be the source of this. And here's something that I did some research on. There's an annual meteor shower called the Arethids. It's called the Daylight Meteor Shower, and this is very unusual, because you don't normally see meteors in the daytime. People would listen to them on radio, like radio telescopes. So here it is. If you look into the northeast sky just before sunrise, these earth-grazing meteors where the Arizona fireball came out and many of the others that we just talked about, you may indeed get to see some of these bright objects as earth-grazers, maybe not as bright as the Arizona fireball, but it is quite unusual. Some of the speculation is that this is all from Comet 96P Machholz, which has the same orbit as the Arethids. But we shift gears and talk about something that people with moderate to large-sized telescopes might be able to see, dust them off, and go out and try to find a galaxy called NGC 4125. NGC 4125, just Google it. A supernova has exploded in that galaxy. I'm trying to find it myself, and it's not without, you know, reason that you can't see it in the moderate telescope. 24 million light years away, the object itself right next to the galaxy, you'd see this star-like object. When's the last time anybody's seen a supernova? Mm-hmm. Amazing. And finally, the live sky. We want to remind everyone, tomorrow evening, Friday evening, look to the moon. Just to the left, an amazing conjunction of Jupiter and the moon. And for you observers of planets, don't forget, early morning in the northeast, the planet Mercury makes a beautiful appearance just before sunrise as you're looking for some of those Earth-grazing potential meteors and asteroids. And always, naturally, remember to keep your eyes to the skies.
Stephen, thank you so much. Is there a secret space program? Up next, Jim Marrs with us on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. We've got a great program for you tonight, all hours, all night long. Jim Marrs, for the first couple hours, award-winning journalist, more than 30 years experience with several major Texas newspapers. Back in 1999, he began teaching a course on UFOs, which is amazing. Jim also investigated the U.S. Army's remote viewing program 3 years before it was publicly acknowledged. He also has produced Alien Agenda, Population Control, Our Occulted History. Jim, how many books do you have out there now?
Oh, gracious, George. I think it's somewhere up close to 10.
Good for you.
The reason I don't seem certain is because some of them have been republished with different titles, and some of them have been, shortened. And I think there's about 10 or 12, but actually probably there's only about 8 or 9.
I just missed you at Contact of the Desert.
I know. I was so mad. I'm sorry. I had a dinner engagement, and I went with other people, and I was kind of stuck. I fully intended to get out there. I had a card that I made for you. I hope you got it.
I didn't get it yet, but they're sending me all the stuff, so I'll get it in a couple days.
Tom will have it for you.
He probably took the money you put inside.
Yeah.
And took
it. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's great, yeah. If there's no money in it, Tom got it.
We kept shaking the envelope, Jim, but there was nothing in there. Couldn't find it. How have you been?
I've been pretty good. As you can hear, I'm a pony tonight, you know.
Uh-huh.
I'm a little horse.
A little raspy.
Little raspy, but then that's what happens when you spend a week out in the desert.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Hey, how did you get involved in investigating a secret space program?
Well, number one, I've been hearing about this for a long time, and anytime I hear about something, my journalistic hackles go up, and I go, wait a minute, is that real? Is that right? And, of course, the idea that we have a space fleet somewhere out in space operating, and we don't know about it, and that just does not strike me as being very real, you know. So I really I was paying attention to it, but I did not get actively involved in it until more and more information came out. I think the one thing that really pushed me over the edge was Gary McKinnon, who you may recall,
Busted into the CIA, hacked into the NASA
computers, yeah. Right? And he was looking for, he was just looking for UFO material, and he found the rosters and the duty rosters and the chain of command for a secret space fleet. And he fled to England. I think maybe he's still there, and they're trying to extradite him. And what's really interesting is that the U.S. government, they want him back over here, and they want him on trial, and they want to, put him away somewhere and pipe air to him. And yet the Pentagon itself has admitted that he didn't do any harm to anything.
No. Know?
So why are they so adamant about prosecuting him? And I suspect, and to me, that lends a lot of credence to the idea that there is this secret space fleet.
Well, between him and Edward Snowden, they did a pretty good job getting information, didn't they?
That's right. But you know what, George? I mean, you're right on the cutting edge of it all there with Coast to Coast. And you've heard all the writers and all the investigators, both of them, McKinnon and Snowden. They really didn't tell us anything we didn't already know, right? They just confirmed it.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. So tell me what you have heard about this deep space fleet.
Well, basically, all I can tell you is, what's floating around, which is that we do have this space fleet out there. But I will eventually tell you that I actually finally met a naval officer who told me that he had been out there and he'd been on these ships. In fact, he said they had given him an operation that allowed him to breathe and to operate in a facility on Venus, if you can believe that.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. And but then that leads me to the big question of why exactly do we need a deep space fleet? Does somebody somewhere know something that we don't know?
Is it a fleet to escape?
We're still here grappling with the idea of, you know, are UFOs real? Are there really aliens somewhere? And yet, so what does it say when there seems to be fairly good evidence that there may indeed be a deep space military presence?
Did this person tell you why we're doing this?
Yes. It's a you remember back during the Cold War, and we had the dew line up in, I think it was Canada, around the Arctic Circle. It was an early warning defense system. My impression is that's the idea. You know, they're out there trying to protect the Earth. But the big question, of course, becomes protect against who or what?
I mean, why would we go to Venus? What are we doing there?
Exactly. Well, and of course, you know, Venus was a new one on me. I'm sure you've already heard the rumblings and the stories about possible bases on the moon.
Yeah.
And maybe even on Mars, you know.
You know, physicist Stephen Hawking has always warned that we shouldn't be so public out there in the universe, that, you know, if we flag, and he's making an assumption we haven't been visited yet. I think we have, so do you.
Right.
But let's assume, and let's go with what he's been saying, is he doesn't want us to broadcast our location to the rest of the universe. He's concerned.
It's kind of like, you know, don't be careful what you wish for. You might just get it.
That's right.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But, you know, he's not the first one to argue against or to warn against. In fact, actually, part of his statements, part of Stephen Hawking's, was that we might find ourselves in contact with a highly advanced civilization who really doesn't care about us one way or another, but they might want our mineral resources.
That's right.
On this planet. And that reminds me, you know, I've been a science fiction fan for years, and I remember back in the early 80s reading this really long, you may recall it, the book about Battlefield Earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the storyline in Battlefield Earth is that these aliens, I think they were called Cyclos, you know, they weren't actually mean or bad. They didn't really want to hurt the humans. They just wanted our resources, so they came down here, and as I recall, their invasion lasted 7 minutes.
It's a little like humans pillaging other countries,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, but can you imagine a worldwide invasion?
7 minutes.
That was accomplished in seven minutes. I kind of laugh and say, yeah, they must have taken a coffee break.
I mean, do you fear an invasion from space?
Not really, and I'll tell you why. Because, and you know this as well as I do, George, when you look back through history, you find out that there is plenty of evidence to suggest that we have been visited all the way back through our recorded history. I mean, all the way back to the Bible, where you had Ezekiel and the fiery, flaming wheel that went through the air, picked him up, carried him to a city in the mountains, and took him over by the river, you know. It seems real obvious that he was talking about a material object that took him somewhere. And then again, here's the key thing, George. If you'll go and study all of the primitive societies on the earth, from the Hindu Vedas, to the ancient Egyptians, to the ancient Chinese, and their talk about the flying dragons, and the Romans who talked about flying shields, and, you know, the whole history of the world shows that apparently we've been visited all throughout the expansion of humankind. So to me, that's an encouraging thing, because by the way, while I was out in L.A., I guess you noticed that they're getting ready to come out with a second Independence Day, too.
Yeah.
You know, where they come down and they blow up everything, they destroy everybody. And again, that's back to Battlefield Earth, where they took over the Earth, and the humans were just about wiped out, and there was just a little handful of survivors that's trying to overcome them. But I don't really fear that right at the moment, because if that was the plan, Don't you think they would have done that years ago when all we had to fight them with was, sticks or swords or something? Huh. Why wait until we have deep space fleet and laser weapons and space stations and things like that, you know?
By the way, Chuck Berry's Johnny B. Goode is out there floating around on Voyager 1 somewhere.
I know. That's why I mentioned that. I wondered if you remembered that. Voyager 1, which, by the way, as I recall, I hadn't kept up with it very recently, but I believe that is right now probably the farthest man-made object.
Oh, it's way out of the solar system. Jim, stay with us. We're going to continue chatting with you. And I want to get into a couple of your other works, our occulted history and population control, both amazing topics. And then we'll take calls with you next hour. And our friend Jim Marrs with us for the next hour and a half as we talk about things in space. We're going to get into his book, Our Occulted History, also Population Control, with the Bilderbergs out there starting to meet, lots going on. Hey, I wanted to pass on my events coming up, by the way, in St. Louis. Definitely, if you're in that area, if you're coming in from Illinois or Missouri, come on by. Lindenwood University, circle your calendar, June 18th. You can even pick your own seats. You'll see little colored seats. Those are the ones that are not taken. Click that and pick a good seat. Simply go to our website, coasttocoastam.com, and click at the highlight reel, my event in St. Louis. You'll see that. And then that also opens up to our event in August in North Carolina, which Tom tells me is a very quaint little theater. They wanted this one nice and quaint, and that's what it is. The one in St. Louis is almost three times bigger than the one in North Carolina, but it's going to be fun. I mean, you can reach out and touch somebody. So we've got lots of great guests there, and ticket information also at coasttocoastam.com. Welcome back to Coast, Jim Marrs with us as we've talked about the secret space program that's out there. Do you have any doubts, Jim, that the program doesn't exist?
I think there's definitely something that exists. You might recall we talked some years ago when my book, The Rise of the Fourth Reich, came out. And if you'll recall, early on in the space race, there were two distinct space programs. The old Soviet Union was, first off, the old Soviet Union and us split the Nazi rocket scientists, right?
That's right.
They got a bunch, we got a bunch, okay? And so the Nazi rocket scientists that went to Russia, they worked on heavy lift rockets that could put big payloads up into space. And that's why that the Russians were the first to put a dog and a satellite into space, an astronaut and a woman astronaut. And that's why we got real perturbed and started really pushing ahead with our space program. Well, what our Nazi rocket scientists worked on was the computer programming, the software that allowed us to plot trajectories and plot orbits and with great accuracy. So, but what's unknown to most people is these Nazi scientists were in touch with each other, and in fact may have been even operating under some very, very highly placed wealthy elite people, you know, the New World Order folks, if you want to call it that. And so what happened, I believe, is that they, at that level, were able to combine the heavy lift rockets of the Russians with the very sophisticated guidance systems of our rockets and then created a secret space fleet. So it's kind of wild, but there's the very real possibility that all these years, while we've been awed by watching those giant rockets take off from Cape Canaveral with, you know, blowing smoke and flame, that somewhere, you know, off over somewhere, maybe the Okefenokee Swamp,
yeah,
you know, they're working, they have alternative spacecraft, possibly even anti-gravity, because right after World War II, there was a lot of very knowledgeable aviation people, including William Lear, that invented the Learjet.
That's right.
Who were talking about the next generation of anti-gravity craft.
It's there. I mean, I know some people at Boeing.
Yeah, you know.
Something's happening there.
Yes.
Something's.
Now, you know, you asked me if I'm worried about a big alien invasion, and I said not particularly, because I think they would have done it long before now. But let me tell you what does concern me. if you'll think back in 2009, on American Idol, of all things, they had Celine Dion sing a duet with Elvis Presley.
Oh, by hologram. That's right.
And the people who were in the audience, and I think you can still find this on YouTube, you go up and watch the tape of it, and it looks like Elvis and Dion are up there singing, you know? And that was 2009.
Well, they did the same thing with even better technology with Michael Jackson.
Yes, exactly. So, see, we've got that technology, and it's getting, you know, better every year. So what concerns me is a future false flag. You know, all I got to do is make a hologram projection appear over a city, and it would look maybe like a scene from Independence Day where you have a huge craft hanging over the city. You know, people might freak out, and people might say, oh, please, government, you know, take the last of my liberties so you can protect me, you know.
Absolutely. Jim, I want to talk with you about some of your other works as well, and we'll take phone calls next hour from folks who are already starting to call for you. But our occulted history, give me a little synopsis of that.
Oh, yes. Well, now you're getting into the ancient astronauts.
Ah, yes. One of our favorite subjects.
Oh, yeah. But before you do that, I was just reminded, I'll give you a little advanced warning. There's going to be a flying saucer crash on Hollywood Boulevard in about a week.
What's happening there? Oh, the time with the movie?
Yeah, I think it's with the movie, but I think this is why I was reminded of the book Battlefield Earth. They are launching a republication of that big, thick story. And as I understand it, and I don't have anything to do with it, but as I understand it, I was told by some people they're going to have a saucer or a spaceship crash on Hollywood Boulevard, and they're going to block it off for a while and everything. And so if you see smoke rising up out of the center of Los Angeles, you know, don't freak out. Apparently it's because they are promoting the re-release of Battlefield
Earth. All right, good tip.
Which is a great book, by the way, and kind of a cruddy movie. I don't know what happened to it. I think I read it years ago, and I think that the problem was, like in so many films, they really didn't follow the book.
Well, this time we'll see what happens. I'm glad you warned us.
Yeah, so there you go. Yeah, I'll be watching for that. So back to the ancient astronauts. I guess what it boils down to is this, George. You know, you've had plenty of guests other than myself talking about all of the evidence that seems to suggest that we were visited way back in the distant past. Okay, so that just brings up the question, is that true or not? You know, were there ancient astronauts in the past? And if so, where'd they all go? They all leave, or at least some of them still here? Well, I'll tell you, I think that question can be answered. And it can be answered by simply closely studying human history. If, as we are taught in school, it's just been one slow evolutionary climb for humankind from cave dwellers to hunter-gatherers to city-states to empires and nations, then, you know, there shouldn't be anything in the record to detract from that scenario. And yet, as you know as well as anybody, that if you look back, we find reports of sky gods, people flying through the air, advanced beings landing and giving primitive tribes advanced knowledge, reports of, you know, all the way up to UFOs, crop circles, alien abductions, animal mutilation. So, that tells us that somebody's still here.
Sure is. Sure is. Now, why are we concealing it?
Well, okay, first off, the key organizing principle of any society, the one key thing is to provide for the common defense. You know, in the Constitution of the United States, there's actually only two powers delegated to the federal government, and that's to coin and regulate money and provide for the common defense. So, number one, they can't admit that there's something flying through our skies that they not only don't know exactly who they are or what they want, but they can't stop them. So why would we keep spending half our nation's budget on defense when there's no defense? That's one. Second thing is that, let's face it, we're a corporatocracy, you know, or a corporate state. They run this country, the corporations, and they're the people who own these corporations. I don't think they really care, George, whether we know there's aliens out there or not, but what they care about is if the public were to come to a total understanding and knowledge, not just suspicion, but the knowledge that there's advanced technology out there, then it might upset their monopolies over telecommunications and energy and medicine, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, that's true. There's no question about that. And the Bilderbergs now are going to meet in Dresden, Germany.
Right.
And they talk about all kinds of things. And I'm sure population control is on their list, Jim.
Absolutely.
What do you think?
Because when you get right down to it, they're eugenicists, which means they are concerned with the evolution of the human species and trying to figure out ways to improve it. And speaking of the Bilderbergers, have you ever considered, George, what the mainstream corporate media would do if all of the owners of the National Football League teams were to meet in a hotel under heavy guard secretly for a week?
They'd go crazy.
They'd go crazy. They'd say, that's restraint of trade. That's monopoly. You can't do that.
They'd have live TV vans out there and everything else.
Yeah, but when these corporate world leaders get together, they give them a pass.
Why?
Well, because they're the world and corporate leaders. They're in charge.
Are they afraid of them?
No, they're owned by them. You know, you don't put bad press out about your owner.
Well, that's true, but we get away with it. The corporate elite is getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
And badder and badder. That brings me to my latest book, Population Control, How Corporate Owners Are Killing Us. So, George, this is really starting to get serious. I mean, you know, we can go back and talk about UFOs, alien invasions. That's all philosophical. We can talk about government conspiracies like the Kennedy assassination, things like that. And that's serious topics, and that's really important stuff. But population control, what they're putting in our food, what they're putting in our water, what they're spraying us with from the air. I mean, now we're talking self-defense. If you don't figure out what they're doing and start taking measures to protect yourself and your family, you know, they want us dead.
Jim, we've got about 7 billion people on the planet now. We're going to go to 9 billion in the not-too-distant future.
Right.
I have heard numbers that they'd like to get the world population down to 500 million. Have you heard that number?
Yes. That's on the Georgia Guidestones.
All right.
You know, but here's the thing, and I point this out in my book, Population Control. I think that's a bogus deal, okay, because it has been stated, and I checked this out, it's true. The whole 7.5 billion population of the world could actually live comfortably enough just in the state of Texas. Now, I live in Texas, so wait, please, everybody, don't come running down.
You don't want 7 billion people in Texas.
I don't want 7 billion neighbors. But the point is that the 7.5 billion could live comfortably enough just in the state of Texas. And when you start talking about going to 9 billion, okay, we could live comfortably just in Australia. So there's really not a overpopulation problem. There's a population concentration problem, and I ran into that on Tuesday when I was trying to come from Palm Springs to L.A.
Welcome to the traffic, huh?
Yeah, no, this was the worst ever. It was a tandem tractor-trailer truck loaded with onions that jackknifed
across
three lanes of the 10,
oh.
And I sat in this hot car for more than 3 hours.
Did the onions go splattering all over the place?
They were everywhere, you
oh
know.
Oh, my gosh.
Which kind of leads me to a newsman's question, you know. Hey, you know, you guys get these truck wrecks all the time, and there's sometimes it's goats and chickens, and this time it's onions. And, hey, who gets all that stuff?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I don't know what they do with it. They just throw it away?
Well, I mean, those
onions pretty good.
Over the highway, they might be a little dirty, but, you know.
But they're still good inside.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I would hate to think they throw it away, although, you know, there's another issue. I was reading the other day that they've done studies. They find out that, you know, we got people all over the world literally starving to death. And yet they said Americans throw away about 40% of the food that they eat.
Yeah, that's true.
You go to a restaurant, you leave a lot on your plate. Or you order something, you get a side dish that you don't really want, so you don't even need it. And the restaurant, they can't, because of the health regulations, they can't resell it. So, you know, they just chunk it. So we throw away 40% of our food. So wait a minute, we're throwing away 40% of our food, and other people in the world are starving? What's wrong with that picture?
Well, why do they have this idea that we're overpopulated as a world?
Oh, well, because if you live in the big city and you're stuck in traffic, it's real easy to sell you on the idea that we're overpopulated. But as far as the ruling elite go, they think we're overpopulated because they think there's too many of us useless eaters, as they sometimes refer to us. And what I think what they're moving towards is they would like to see a future. In fact, if you'll stop and think, west of the Rocky Mountains, the federal government now owns the biggest bulk of the land. I think Nevada, something like 80% of Nevada is owned by the federal government. 54% of California owned by the government. Where in the Constitution did it ever say the federal government's supposed to own all the land?
Yeah.
And, of course, they do this under the rationale of, well, these are public lands and we're trying to save the environment. And we're trying to have wildlife protection area, blah, 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 okay?
Well, Jim, maybe they want to control the population because they can't control 7 billion people, and they're afraid of that.
That's right, especially now that we've got the Internet and that everybody's kind of connected with each other.
That's true.
Which hasn't been the case in the past.
I mean, it's instant communications. People find out things now just like that.
Exactly.
In our day, when Kennedy got killed in 63... I'm 13. I don't know how old you were, but, you know, I went home and watched this everything unfold on the CBS Evening News with Cronkite. And, you know, you had to do that. You had that kind. You had to go home. You had to do this.
Right.
Now it's just there. It's instant.
Now you pick up your cell phone and you got it right in your hand.
It's there. It's coming across as a bulletin.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I hate to tell you how old I was at the time, but I'll just tell you that I have a photograph of me dancing on the stage of Jack Ruby's Carousel Club that was taken about a month before
really?
The assassination. Yeah.
My gosh, you go way back.
Yeah, I do. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's right. You witnessed the Gettysburg Address by Lincoln, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you must be taking the right supplements, Jim. To keep going, huh?
No, I've just hung on for a long time. That's you know, that's the secret of really gaining wisdom. You just have to live a long time.
Well, are they going to succeed in this population control? Some
no,
people think
I,
that
I
they've
don't
leaked
think so.
It into the vaccines and yeah. things like that.
Well, see, they're trying very, very hard. But already, you know, the people are wising up. The Internet has caused a great consciousness raising that's going on. And I'll give you a good example here. Recently, Pepsi-Cola announced that they were taking the aspartame out of their diet drinks.
Okay? Well, there's a victory there for us.
A big victory. And they were open about it. They didn't say they were doing that because they had finally, agreed that aspartame is a carcinogen and a very deadly thing to put in the food. They said they did it because of public outcry. Enough people said, we don't want that, so they took it out.
They said enough is enough.
That's right. And so the good news is there's more of us than there are of them. And if everybody just listened to Coast to Coast and wise up and figure out what's happening, we don't have to have a violent revolution. We just all have to stand up and say, no, we're not going to do that.
Jim, we're going to take calls next hour with you, and right. I'm going to open them all up. We can talk about the secret space program, population control, aliens, the JFK story as well. That just doesn't seem to go away.
Not go away. And you know, you mentioned that, you know, if you'll remember when the Kennedy that weekend and for days after, you couldn't turn on a radio or a TV without getting 24/7 coverage of the assassination. There just wasn't anything else talked about. unlike 9/11, which was a huge galvanizing event. And yet on 9/11, you know, we had so many channels, you could always turn over to the Cartoon Network or Disney Channel, and you didn't have to watch all that.
No, not at all. So stay with us. Jim Barr's with us. We're going to take phone calls next hour with Jim. You know the subject matter, so let your fingers do the walking and get right to the phones. Don't forget, by the way, his website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com.